brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Welcome to Burr and Foreman's Results Matter Radio. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and today we're talking about Atlanta Rugby. My guests are Armin Vari, the Atlanta Rugby Foundation, Min Cho, with the Vice President of Atlanta Old White Rugby Club, Jim Turner, President of Phoenix Rugby Club and the League Commissioner of the Georgia Youth Rugby Association, and Gary Ferris, partner with Burr and Foreman. Welcome, guys.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Before we jump into finding out more about Atlanta Rugby, I'd like to first get to know our guests a bit. So, Armin Vari, you're a trustee of the Atlanta Rugby Foundation, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you played rugby.
I did.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I played at Florida State University for 3 years, and upon my visits to Atlanta, I saw there was an opportunity to play with the club, Atlanta Old White. Got an opportunity to go to work here and was fortunate to be able to play, and started in January of 1976 and played through the 1984 season.
That's awesome. Any injuries to speak of?
Banged up a little bit, but nothing to brag about.
Excellent. And you also led the cause to build the nationally acclaimed rugby complex near the intersection of I-285 and Cascade Road.
Certainly was a team effort. The Atlanta Rugby Foundation and the members of Atlanta Old White all pitched in to put that thing together, and we're very proud of it.
Now, professionally, Armin, you've been with Jacoby Development since 1991.
Yes, I have.
Some of the projects to note: Atlantic Station, obviously the one most people know of.
That was a long run. We started in 1995 and opened it in 2005.
And the most recent, redeveloping the old Ford plant.
Yes, that's called the Aerotropolis. It's a 130-acre tract. The old Ford plant was around since the 1940s. We knocked down that facility, and we're going to build another live-work-play area out there, and it's going to be headquartered by the new North American Porsche headquarters.
Terrific. Terrific. We're so glad to have you here today, Armin.
Thank you for having
Min,
me.
Min, Vice President of Atlanta Old and White Rugby Football Club.
Yes.
You graduated from Georgia Tech.
I did.
And with a BS in Aerospace Engineering. So you're an
aerospace engineer. Absolutely.
TIG Hitco.
Hitco, correct.
And the company, what's their specialty?
We primarily specialize in thermal protection systems, anything that goes on airplanes, industrial equipment, whatever you need, anything that needs protection from heating elements. That's pretty much what we do.
Excellent. Now, you joined Old White in 2008, and you've been in some various management positions.
Right. First year, I was just thrown into what you call a match secretary position, pretty much the position where you're supposed to schedule all your teams, which is really, it's a thankless job, but we love to do it.
And you play rugby also.
I do.
Obviously, position is the hooker position.
It is.
Now, for our listeners who might not be familiar with exactly where that plays in the field, tell us.
I don't know if anybody listening right now is familiar with rugby, but in a scrum situation where 8-on-8 versus 8, we all come together, I am the person in the middle, front row, pretty much going head-to-head against the other side, right in the middle.
Right front and center.
Exactly. So pretty much an analogy is a football center. It's pretty much that position.
Excellent. Yeah. Injuries to speak of on your end there, Min.
Yes, I have had torn knees. I had concussions. Had a broken orbital bone before. So it's good stuff. It is very good.
That's awesome. Now, you also coach Georgia Tech's women's rugby team, correct?
I coach along with a couple of the local women's players, the Atlanta Harlequins. I pretty much coach the forwards. So the pack, that's what you call them.
Nice. Okay, and then Jim Turner, President of Phoenix Rugby Club and the former head coach of the club. You played rugby as a professional, Jim.
Yes, I played in England for about 20 years at high school, and then I played for a pretty famous club called Blackheath that was founded in 1858. One of the original clubs actually designed the rules for both soccer and rugby. And then there was a split that occurred about 3 or 4 years later.
So tell us more about what it was like to play rugby professionally those years.
Well, it was very competitive. I use professionally in quotes because until 1995, players were not allowed to take salaries. All other expenses were paid for, but if you took a salary and you were found out about it, then you were banned for life. So the game didn't really go professional until 1995. So when I played, you had to have a day job to survive.
Excellent. Well, what would you say are some of the most memorable times?
Well, we traveled quite a bit around the country. Probably the most fun we had was going down to play in Wales, you know, famous clubs there. And in Wales and in New Zealand and to some extent South Africa, rugby is really like another religion. Everybody's involved, the family's involved. If you move up into the stands in a Welsh club, you'll see all the reserved seats. And it's Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Billy Jones, Mary Jones, Bobby Jones. Everybody's
there. Wow, the lifetime attendees.
That's right.
That's great. Well, the enthusiasm for the game is growing here in Atlanta. That's what we're here to talk about. Gary Ferris is also with us. Gary practices in the Atlanta office. Gary practiced actually in the Birmingham office prior to founding the Atlanta office in 1995. Gary, you're here to learn about rugby and to meet our guests.
Well, I am. You know, I've known Armand for a number of years now. I had the privilege of participating in the development of the Atlantic Station project as counsel for a number of the lenders who financed that project, and we've had the privilege of representing Jacoby Development in some of their other matters, and Armand's a neighbor in our office building, and got to know him and His love of rugby is, shall I say, infectious, and I welcome the opportunity to participate in this discussion. And, of course, in preparation, I jumped on YouTube and refreshed my memory of what all is entailed in a rugby match, and I come to know that rugby, at least on the professional level, strikes me as an NFL football game, but everyone forgets to bring their pads with them. But it's a very exciting sport, and I know the gentlemen here at the table are excited about the new complex here in Atlanta, and it just adds to the international flavor of the city, and I think it's a welcome addition.
Awesome. Well, let's get started by going through our topics here for the discussion. So let's start with the Atlanta Rugby Foundation. If one of you wants to jump in and give us the background on the Atlanta Rugby Foundation.
The foundation was created to spread the word of rugby throughout metropolitan Atlanta. Five old white alumni created the foundation, became trustees, and we pledged to look for an area to build a complex, and then we wanted to go to the youth, not only the middle school, but the high school, the collegians, and those collegians that might return back to Atlanta to either come home or go to work, and make sure that they knew that this great sport was available to them. A lot of people don't realize, but rugby is the second most famous sport in the world after soccer. So to get the word spread was a little selfish, because we have a team here that we would like all the people that move back to Atlanta to be aware of so they can come play with us.
So what is the landscape of rugby in Atlanta, or even more broadly in the U.S.? Min?
Well, right now in U.S., it's pretty much an amateur sport. It's we're IRB ranked. That's International Rugby Board, the governing body of rugby in the world. I believe the U.S. is approximately 15, 16 in the nation, but that's considered a tier two club, tier two country. Tier ones are the 10 countries with the professional rugby in their countries, Ireland, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, etc. And it is very difficult to compete against them. However, there is a country, Argentina, that is an amateur country as well, but they have a strong system, and I think that's where USA Rugby is trying to get to.
Now, the Atlanta Rugby Foundation built the rugby complex I mentioned earlier, and that's the new home of Atlanta Oldham White Rugby Club. Oldham White has represented Atlanta regionally since its inception in 1974. How many teams have their own field? What does that mean for a team?
It is actually a privilege. It was an honor to play on that this season. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. Previous years, we would play on fields with crabgrass. There would be glass on the field, rocks on the field. It was
a whole other dimension to the game.
Yeah, exactly. Obstacle course playing. But, yeah, once those the first time when I saw the field with the posts up, I got a little teary-eyed when I saw that.
It's pretty exciting.
It is, absolutely, absolutely. And in the U.S., teams with fields, it's very minimal. And especially with a field that's so close within a metropolitan area, that is a huge advantage.
Fields are a challenge for playing rugby at all levels. Now, I have not yet seen the new Old White Field, but I'm told it's probably one of the best fields in the country. It's very impressive, apparently.
It is impressive, and if Arma could chime in, it is the full IRB regulation size, which is...
We had an opportunity to get a piece of property that was less than 10 miles from metropolitan Atlanta, less than 10 minutes from the international airport, and it was owned by an old friend of ours who became a club friend, Doug Crawford. We saw an opportunity to take what was a floodplain and create something that is pretty special. We had to go through every stage that you would with a typical development for a shopping center or a neighborhood through Fulton County, and had to get it rezoned, had to get all the entitlements. We had to meet with everybody in the planning and zoning department, with all the neighborhoods, with the Merchants Association, and then appear in front of the Fulton County Commission. And it was a 7-0 approval for us to go to work, and that was in 2008.
So this was quite a project with a complex timeline, a lot of different players involved along the way.
As I mentioned before, it was a team effort. The Board of Trustees of the Atlanta Rugby Foundation, again, is made up of Atlanta Old White players, and we didn't have any money, so we created the foundation. We asked for donations. All the old members pitched in, and we went to work.
Sounds like a pretty tight-knit group.
It is. It is, absolutely.
Tell us about the makeup of Atlanta Old and White.
It is a truly international club. A couple of months ago, I took a poll with our clubs, especially with the old boys as well as the current players, trying to figure out where everybody came from. And we compiled a list, and our club, since the inception in 74, we were represented by over 40 nations in all continents, and that just blew me away.
That's fantastic.
When I saw that, I don't know. There's no words.
It's a great international flavor for the city. Now, Jim, the history of the Phoenix Rugby Club, why don't you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, the Phoenix Club was formed in 2006, at that time for high school boys. Since 2006, we've expanded to include middle school boys. And just last week, we kicked off a program for first to fifth grader boys and girls. So we really, you know, cover the entire span of youth rugby, which is the thrust of the Georgia Youth Rugby Association. Going back to some of your earlier points, Edmund pointed out the game is an international game. It's played in 116 countries. In the U.S., there are about 1 million people engaged in rugby, And at the youth level, we have around 44,000 boys and girls playing rugby now. It's one of the fastest growing sports in the U.S.
Now, what's the background around the Georgia Youth Rugby Association, Jim?
Well, we want to really, there's been an element of decline at the high school level, and we wanted to re-energize the program, youth program within Georgia, and also to expand it beyond high school to middle schools and grade schools. And we wanted to raise the level of rugby, the quality of rugby being played. So there's an emphasis on competing within the state and out of state. We often travel to North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Florida to play better teams and raise the quality and skills of our players. One of our principal goals is really to prepare the high school players to be ready to play at college, and we would like to think most of them will start on their college teams when they graduate from high school.
Now, the Phoenix Rugby Club has also gotten some honors or championships.
Yes.
Brag a little bit for me.
Yes, we've won several state championships. We were runners-up quite a few times, too. But we were the first club from Georgia to win the USA South Regional Championships. And then by winning that tournament, we qualified to go to the Nationals. And so we competed in the USA Rugby National Championship, High School Championship in 2010. When we arrived there, met a lot of other coaches, and the first question out of their mouths was, "We didn't know you played rugby in Georgia." but the boys played very well there, and we came out of that tournament ranked 7th in the country.
Awesome. Now, you bring up a good point. There are some challenges around gaining acceptance of rugby as a mainstream sport, but there also seems to be a lot of growing interest among parents and students. Talk a little bit about the dynamic that you're seeing, all of you.
The interest certainly is growing. I mean, I get telephone calls, emails every week from parents. It's prompted by the media attention that's now being given to rugby, because rugby will be back in the Olympics in 2016 in Brazil. And it will be for both men and women. So that stirred up the interest. And I find a lot of parents at middle school are contemplating what are their kids going to do when they go to high school. And they've got this vision of maybe the boys sitting on the bench for a long while. And they start asking themselves, what else is there? What about this rugby? And that prompts the calls and the emails to me.
And as the club, we've been getting a lot of responses from former athletes from other sports, football, basketball. They can't play professionally anymore, or college was their limit, and they wanted to get into a competitive sport. They'll contact any local rugby club, and it's a good outlet, good family community, and that's how they get their competitive edge on.
Excellent. Now, Armin, what will the foundation do in the community?
Well, when we talked to the neighbors, they weren't very aware of what rugby was. And we really told them that once we got this venue built, which we have, that we were going to go to the middle schools and to the high schools and expose the sport to their kids. And this includes boys and girls. Jim has done a heck of a job up there in Alpharetta. It's not too infamous down in the southwest corner of Atlanta, but we're going to change that a little bit. What that sport brings is it's available to the fast, the tall, the short, the squatty, the strong, the not so strong yet. Everybody can play. There's a spot for everyone on that field. And we can make them into good players.
Nice. So people that might not fit into more traditional American sports are branching out, discovering rugby and the fun that they can have playing that competitively.
We don't want to steal the great stars from the football, basketball, and baseball teams in those high schools. But as Jim had mentioned, there are a lot of players that are looking for a home, and we are an alternative. And once they get a little bit of it, they'll be hooked for life.
The other thing to take into account, too, there are a growing number of colleges that that provide financial aid for rugby players. That's really not generally known to the public.
I read up on that, and apparently NCAA considers rugby an emerging sport. I did a little background check. There are approximately 10 each of men's and women's colleges that actually consider rugby a varsity sport, and I believe it's a trend moving upward, trying to get that for a more mainstream sport for NCAA.
So, Gary, I mean, you've spent a lot of time in Alabama and Georgia, probably watched a lot of NFL football. In checking out rugby and learning more about it, what are some of the aspects that you found to be most enjoyable to watch?
I think the most enjoyable aspect is the speed of the game, the physical prowess of the participants. Some sports are criticized. I think often in America, soccer is criticized because of the lack of scoring. Some other sports are criticized for being, quote, boring, close quote. Well, I don't see that in rugby. It's constant activity. The flow of the game changes very rapidly. And frankly, there's a high level of skill in all aspects of the game. So the purest sports fan, the college football fan, which is very prevalent in the South, I think would find a lot of enjoyment in a rugby match.
One of the things that appeals most to boys and girls is that everybody's involved. There's very little sitting on the bench with rugby. When they get on the field, everybody carries the ball, passes the ball, kicks the ball, tackles. So the key word is involvement. And that's what appeals to boys and girls about the game. And they get so excited about it. The other key thing is that because it's of a continuous nature, coaches are unable to send plays in and out. So the players have to make their own decisions on the field, use their own initiative. And the boys and girls love that. They just love that.
Well, the question I have for these gentlemen is if you have the adult player who has an interest in rugby, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, maybe not even extensive background in playing organized sports in college, is there a place?
Absolutely. We just recently got a recruit, 41 years old, never played rugby. So there, we could put anybody anywhere. There's no limitations.
Well, that's good to know.
There are great opportunities for everybody in coaching. I mean, that's our greatest need at the youth level. And we're getting much closer and better cooperation and support from the Old White Club, for example. Two of our coaches are former players. And last week we had the Old White senior team come up to Alpharetta and provide us with a scrimmage just to test our boys out. And that's great to see.
And the Alpharetta team is a pretty stout team, just to let you know, going against them, even though they're high schoolers.
Now, in your efforts to promote youth rugby within Georgia and Alabama, Jim, what have been the responses of parents about the sport?
Well, we distribute flyers to schools. Of course, our major challenge is there's a huge football bias in this state, so we have to deal with that and cope with that. But as Armin pointed out, we always try to explain to the coaches and the athletic directors, we're not trying to steal your football players. We're trying to pick up the players that may be on the fringes that have got some athletic intent or interest, and we hope we could perhaps turn them into better football players if they come out in the spring and play rugby.
Nice.
But we send flyers to the schools. We put notices in newspapers. And a lot of it comes about through word of mouth. You know, one parent talks to another parent. Neighbors talk to neighbors. Boys talk to boys. Girls talk to girls. And the sport grows.
And what's the makeup of Atlanta Old White Rugby Club? And how's the team doing this year?
We're actually, fall is considered a friendly season. As in, well, there's nothing friendly about playing the game, but it's called a friendly season, and none of the matches count, but we're currently 6-0. the meat of our schedule is coming up the next three weekends, where we play against tough competition from Charlotte, Nashville, and our local rival, the Renegades. That's going to be a big one, and we're looking forward to all that.
So people should come out and catch these games, huh?
Absolutely. All the information is on our website, AtlantaRugby.com. And if you visit there, our schedule's there, directions are there, and maybe a little bit of bios there also.
Now, Atlanta Old White Rugby Club has already garnered national exposure. What's your next goal?
Our next goal right now currently is to win the national championship in our division. That's going to take some doing, as in we're going to have to win our local division, win the South, win the regional, and then go to the national tournament, which is pretty much you have to go undefeated throughout that entire playoff situation, which is pretty much like college basketball, NCAA. If you don't win every single game, you're not going to win it.
So how do players get to play with Atlanta Old White?
Like I said before, just visit our website, AtlantaRugby.com, and there's a recruiting link there, and you could just fill out your information, and then we'll give you a call back literally within an hour, because we get the emails directly.
The sport has really caught the attention of the colleges, as was mentioned earlier. With Atlanta being an international city, there are a lot of people that come to work here. The makeup of the team, as you asked, we have a South African coach, we have an Argentinian coach. It's predominantly Americans that are playing, but we are sprinkled with people from Kenya, people from France, people from England. So we welcome everyone, and they help our sport get exposed to what they learned in their countries and implement it on our team. Min is a little bit shy in regard to how the team is doing. They're doing very well, and I would think nothing less of Min because that's how he is. But I will be able to tout the team a little bit more than he. We, the old boys, go out to all the games, and they have been dominating. And the sport is something that's special, and we would welcome everyone to come out to our home field, which is located at Cascade and Fairburn Road in Southwest Atlanta.
Now, Old White has a very active old boy reputation, as you mentioned. How have you guys stayed so close over the years?
I guess I can speak for that as Men still playing. I started in 76 with Atlanta Old White. When I moved here, it was to go to work. Didn't have a lot of friends from college that were here. Obviously didn't grow up in Georgia. I'm from Florida. When you line up 10 people up against the wall, nine of us were from out of state. So it was an immediate impact on your friendship. After go to one or two practices, you automatically have 40 friends. Of course, you practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays. A lot easier to stay at home and turn on Entertainment Tonight or the World Series or Sports Channel as opposed to going to practice on a Tuesday or a Thursday when it's rainy. But you get to know these guys, and after you practice hard for 2 hours, we would go to our tavern, which was the Five Paces, and it still is today, which is the neighborhood tavern where our club goes after every practice and after every game, and enjoy the camaraderie, and you get to know each other. So we were friends in the 70s. We were in each other's weddings. We've been godparents to each other's kids. We've stayed friends today. Some people have moved away, and they still keep in touch. The Atlanta Rugby Foundation was a complete donation of funds from Old Boys, and it was coming in from all across the country. And we raised $250,000 that guys that wanted to give back to their club so we could build a field for our team. It's been great.
That's terrific. Jim, can you tell us the differences between rugby union and rugby league?
Rugby league, of course, both sports were started in England. Rugby league was a professional version of the game that started for what we would call in England working class players, players who really couldn't afford to, you know, play the amateur game. They needed income. And so rugby league got started in the northern part of England. There are some variations between the sports. For example, in rugby league, there are only 13 players on a side as opposed to 15 for rugby union. And some of the individual laws in the game are different. But it's very well supported in England and in New Zealand and in Australia. And they were, you know, obviously fans of both, you know, forms of rugby.
We mentioned earlier the widespread nature of rugby around the globe. We like to wrap up the show by talking about what results matter to you all and why those results matter. So we're talking about the Atlanta Rugby Foundation, Old White Rugby Club, Phoenix Rugby Club, and the growing interest in youth rugby as well in and around Georgia and Alabama. So let's start with you, Jim. What are some of the results that matter this year or moving into the next year in terms of goals and achievements, and why are they so important?
Well, it all boils down to a matter of promotion and advertising the existence of the sport. I find it's not uncommon for expatriates to be living in Atlanta, whether they come from England or South Africa or New Zealand, and not even aware that there's youth rugby occurring in Atlanta. So that's our principal challenge, is to get the word out. Obviously, participating in shows like this helps. And we've got, we try to encourage journalists to write articles about rugby at the both at the senior and the youth level. But it's really getting the word out is the major challenge, to make people aware of the sport.
And to that end, why don't we give your website for Phoenix Rugby and any other contact information that might be relevant for people wanting to learn more?
Yes, I mean, our website is phoenixrugby.net. We have a lot of information on that site about past matches, photos of players, articles about rugby, video clips about rugby. So there's an awful lot of information there. YouTube, as was mentioned earlier. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of YouTube videos about rugby at the international levels. And a lot of our boys, you know, gain their interest from that. They're fooling around on the internet, picking up these YouTubes. All of a sudden, they see this strange game and they get interested.
Nice. Armin?
In regard to results, we're very happy with the progress of completing the field. And as Minnan mentioned earlier, it's an international venue that has gotten national exposure on September 15th when we opened up the venue. USA Rugby sent a representative here. The Atlanta Sports Council came out and looked at it, and they want to include it in their package to sell the city of Atlanta as an international sports gateway. It is up to Min and the team to bring a national championship to that field, but we also haven't completed it. We want to build a clubhouse. We're going to do a lot of lighting. We're going to have a media center so we can televise these games, and we're continuously looking for sponsors who do want to get involved with us. Again, everything has been paid for out of pocket from former players, from Atlanta Old White. We've done nothing in regard to money that has come from outside foundations, corporations, and those people that might be interested in getting involved. We don't have a site yet for the Atlanta Rugby Foundation, but you can contact us through the Atlanta Rugby Foundation, which is the AtlantaRugby.com, which then can find us.
Okay, terrific. Min?
For the club, it's pretty much simple. It's you're playing a game. You want to win at the game. So our results, national championship. But a secondary is recruitment. We want to get as many people out to our club as possible, get as many people to play as possible. It could be new guys, never played before, was it? Right, a couple days ago, I just got a recruiting email from a former shot putter who shot putter for Georgia Tech, and we're trying to get him out to our practices. So, was it, if you want to play, just come on out. Our information is on our website, AtlantaRugby.com.
We impress upon people that rugby is a lifestyle sport. It's a great social networking vehicle. It's a great business networking vehicle. Although rugby's played around the world, it's a pretty close-knit community. And rugby players help one another socially and business-wise, and that's something we try to impress upon the parents and the boys and girls playing the sport.
I would like to thank Gary Ferris and Burr Foreman for the result of this get-together, as it wouldn't be possible without the interaction of his great firm. As Gary mentioned before, Jacoby Development has enjoyed a nice working relationship with Gary and his associates, and look forward to a long-standing one, not only in the building and in zonings, but also maybe possibly some of his associates coming out to play and watch the games. Thank you, Gary.
Awesome. And Gary, I mean, you were talking earlier about the importance of relationships in business over the years. You've heard these strong relationships these rugby clubs have going and all the progress that's been made for building the enthusiasm for the sport. Any closing comments for us here?
Well, it's very exciting. The enthusiasm and these guys here about the sport, they're great ambassadors for the sport. My interest level has increased exponentially. Just listening to their excitement, I want to be a fan now of the Old White, and I'll certainly encourage
come to our
all
games.
Know.
Love it. Well, we will see you all at a rugby match soon here in Atlanta. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for tuning in to Burt and Foreman's Results Matter Radio. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.